Look, it's just great to be here, as I said already. I haven't introduced myself. For those of you who don't know, I'm Matt. I'm one of the pastors here in the church, and it is my utter privilege to be here today. I'm going to say a few words before we dunk Susan in this pool. I'm going to talk about what that means, because I think it's quite important that we get a sense of the why of this occasion. You know, it's a big event, as I've said. This is a high point in the life of our church. This is a pinnacle. What's that all about? And we're going to think about that for a few moments today. I'm going to read a passage. I'm not going to speak massively from it, but I'm just going to use one little phrase. I spoke on this at a baptismal service recently, not the last one, I think the one before. And it's in Acts chapter 8. And verse 26, follow if you'd like to. Sorry, Sarah, I don't think I gave you that. We could get it on the screen, possibly. Acts chapter 8, verse 26, a guy called Philip. So he's one of the early pioneers in the church, an evangelist, an apostle. He was out there establishing the church in these very early days. And this is what it says. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means the queen of the Ethiopians. So a top dude, important guy, like, I guess, the equivalent of our Chancellor of the Exchequer. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. I shan't point out who it was. Anna. And on his way, sorry. And on his way home, was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. I love this. The imagery in my mind is of this guy with these sort of robes on, hitching up his robes and legging it along the road after this chariot, trying to look like he's not normal and natural. And, you know, I think it's brilliant. So the prophet ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah, the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. Listen to this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, this is the verse for today. Look, here is water. Then he says, what can stand in the way of me, or me being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. I preached on that when Elijah and Edric and Elaine and Ethan were baptized. Remember? And what did I talk about, Barn? No. Sorry. Jesus. So I didn't really talk about the baptism bit. We talked about the journey that this guy was on. It's a really interesting passage. And, this is part two today of that passage that I talked that first part last year. We thought about the journey of the Ethiopian eunuch, how this hugely important person in that land travels thousands of miles seeking something more. Now, we don't know the purpose of his trip to Jerusalem. The only thing that is written is that he went to worship. So he may have had business, but the only business that really mattered to him was this hunger and this longing that took him thousands of miles round trip. I think it was 3,000 miles round trip, something like that. It was a long, long way in a rickety chariot. He was hungry, and this drove him on that journey. On his way home, we have this crazy encounter. I mean, it is a bit bonkers, isn't it? He's there in the chariot reading about Jesus. God provides somebody who knows all about Jesus to explain to him exactly what is going on. It can only be God. Anyone had experiences like that? God giving you that right person at the right time with the right word that just grabs you, blesses you, encourages you, challenges you, convicts you. And there's this miraculous encounter. And what we see in the midst of this encounter is that it's all about Jesus. That is the answer to the question, whatever the question is today. The answer is, Jesus. Okay? This guy is convinced and convicted in a moment. They're driving along and he goes, had they had the baptism conversation? I don't know. Anyway, there's water. I want to mark this moment. I want to celebrate this moment. I want to do something significant and powerful and impacting in this moment. Here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? Friends, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? I want to just talk about that today. I want to talk about baptism. I want to talk about what it is and why it is. Why is it, right, that this is so important that Susan, in a few moments' time, is going to walk into a pool of water in front of 150 people and is going to let two blokes dunk her underneath so she's fully submerged? We are going to pull you out, all right? I know you're a bit worried about that bit. But Chris is a big, strong boy. Friends, let's just be honest. Looking in, it's a bit weird, isn't it? So why is it? What is it about this that makes this so important? That makes this the pinnacle of our life together as a church? That those of you who have been baptized in this room are today remembering that moment, saying, I remember the day. So what is it? I've got a 9-point sermon. They all begin with C. Some of you will be impressed by that. Some of you will be slightly annoyed by it. Why is it so important? I'm going to fly through these. One, because, and they're all linked to Jesus, because it is the command of Jesus. It's all about him, remember? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Jesus commands it. Jesus has said, this is what I want from my followers. I don't know about you, but if it's good enough for him, and he says it, then it's good enough for me. We could just stop there, couldn't we? It's all right, I've got another 8 points to go yet. Okay? So baptism is not dependent on feelings. Baptism is dependent, in the first place, upon obedience. Jesus has said, be baptized, so be baptized. And that's what it said. Jesus said, you are my friends, and if you're my friends if you do what I command. So this is about our friendship with him. So that's the first one. It's about the command of Jesus. I'm stretching it a bit with this, but I want them all to begin with C. It's about copying Jesus. I guess the nicer word would be modelling. He is our model. We want to be like him. He is our example in life and faith, is he not? The command of Jesus is reinforced by his own example of being baptized. You can read about it in Matthew 3, Mark 1, Luke 3. And it's true that Jesus didn't want to baptize Jesus. John didn't want to baptize Jesus. But Jesus said to him, let it be so. It's not proper for us to do this. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus is saying this is the righteous thing to do, even of himself. There is, of course, a difference between baptism that we have experienced and the baptism of Jesus. Jesus did not submit to baptism with a view to washing away his sins because he had no sin. Rather, there's something to ponder here. In stepping into baptism, was he taking the first steps to the cross, to identifying himself with us in our sinfulness? And maybe, just maybe, in our baptism, we are stepping into this identification with him in his sinlessness. So like Jesus, we will be submitting, in baptism we're submitting ourselves to the will of God and we're doing what God requires. And just as Jesus' baptism marked the beginning of his ministry, it kind of marks a new beginning for us. It's celebrating that new creation that we are, this new chapter in our lives that we have. So, it's a command, it's a copying. It's absolutely central. I'm going to put in brackets there to the church and to the early church in particular. Okay, the first Christians took seriously this command of Jesus to be baptized on the day of Pentecost. You know that day when the church was born, when the Holy Spirit was poured out? I'm going to step aside. So, what's the best place to be, Graham, so they can see? Other side. Where it was. Left or right? So no, yesterday I nearly fell in. Okay. He's having a laugh, isn't he? Right. This is what Luke says. In his description on the day of Pentecost, that day, I don't want my laptop to fall in the water, when the Holy Spirit came, when the church was born, this is what Luke said. Somehow I've shot to the end there. Give me one moment. Who is it this time? Love it. If you're visiting, it's not normally like this, okay? It's normally much more slick, professional. Everyone's going, yeah, right. This is what Luke says. Who wrote the book of Acts? He says, when the people heard Peter's sermon, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall I do? What shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Read through the book of Acts. Read through it, and we'll see time and time again, baptism, baptism. The Ethiopian, what we've read today in Acts 8, Paul was baptized by Ananias after him meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus in Acts 9. Lydia, a businesswoman, a wealthy businesswoman, she was baptized in Acts 16. And then the jailer, the Philippian jailer, again in Acts 16, I think his family were baptized by Paul. It's clear that baptism was an integral part of the life and journey in the early church. And I think it's fair to say there was probably no such thing as an unbaptized believer in the early church. So, it's about being central to Jesus' church. The next one, it's about connection. This is a really important one. It's about connecting to Jesus, or we might use the word solidarity. The word solidarity. Baptism is a dramatic way of declaring your solidarity to Jesus. You know, in a few moments' time, Susan's going to come in. Chris is going to lead Susan into the water. And we're going to say to her, Susan, do you repent? Yes, I repent. Do you profess that Jesus is Lord of? Yes, I do. And your Saviour? Yes, I do. And then we'll baptise her. And she'll go in, and for a moment she will disappear. She will disappear, and then she will come out of the water. And in her going back, it's like, I am identifying myself with the death of Christ, with the power and the importance and the efficacy and the implications of it. And then in that split second, you will come out of the water and you will rise up. And you're identifying yourself with the death of Christ, but also with his rising. Something rises up in you. It's what the born again bit is about. The new creation. It's like what we're going to see in the natural is in the spiritual has happened to you internally and to each of us who have put our trust in Christ. The dying with him. And arising with him. And then living in that resurrection power. Good, isn't it? Don't you know that all of you who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. This is also about the change. That Jesus brings. It's about living that new life in Christ too. We're united with Christ in baptism. This is a dramatic, it's more than a dramatic statement of belief. From Paul's description, it's like the newly baptized person, as I said, is being risen to new life. I want to use this word, okay? It's radical. It's radical. Because this language that we're using is radical, isn't it? Born again, new life, transformation, Okay, as you rise from the water, you'll be declaring your resolve to follow Christ's pattern for your life. Baptism marks the moment of this public surrender to Christ. When we turn, Susan, you turn from your sin, you renounce evil, and when you publicly make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life and your lifestyle. I'm not just going to look at you, I'm going to look at all of us who have been baptized in this room. This is about living out the reality of what's happened within us, this transformation that has happened through and because of the cross. It has implications for every single part of your life. Every part of your life should be impacted by the vow you're making today or have made as you've gone through the waters of baptism. Yet the reality is, I wish it were an instant thing. We know that. It's a journey. And we're going to pray for the Holy Spirit to help you on that journey in a moment. And for us all, you know, it's a transformation, step by step, glory to glory, change. But we've got to put ourselves on that path. And we've got to set our minds and our hearts to that. This, friends, is a revolutionary thing that you are doing today, Susan. If you ever thought you might be a revolutionary, up the revolution. This is a revolutionary thing that you are doing today, Susan. And those of us who have experienced it for ourselves have done in our own lives. This is about also the cleansing that Jesus offers. Another consequence of giving yourself to Jesus and committing yourself to him for keeps is that you're accepting and celebrating his forgiveness, his cleansing from all that you know to be wrong in your life. Today, this baptistry is like a big bath. I could give Susan a loofah and a bottle of wash and go on the way down. Okay? It would be highly inappropriate. There'd be bubbles everywhere. But that's what this is like. A spiritual washing. Get up and be baptized, said Ananias to Paul, and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Paul himself later describes baptism as the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Guys, this is just water, okay? I don't believe this is holy water. It's just water. I ran it out the tap yesterday, and I spent 3 hours this morning, Susan, trying to get it warm for you. I think I failed. It's just water. But it's symbolizing something incredibly powerful, that when Christ died on the cross, when his blood was shed, your sin, my sin, can be forgiven, and every barrier, every blockage, every hindrance that there is for me to come into this relationship with God that I was created for has been swept aside. And that's what we celebrate. That's the washing that happens in this pool today. Only the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. 1 John 1, verse 7. Guys, this is also about the closeness of Jesus. So another thing happens, and we touched on it just now, when we give yourself to Jesus, is that God through his Spirit comes to live in you. He makes his dwelling. That's the word that's used. It's like you become a habitation for the Holy Spirit. He comes and lives and dwells with you. And that life can be marked by a new power and a new peace. and a new joy. It was beautiful this morning. Watched the rest of that clip that we started with, the persecuted church. These people, these young Christians in China, we were quite taken by it, weren't we? They were singing and celebrating. It's beautiful worship. And it was all about the joy of the Lord. And they were just saying, we have such joy. This woman says, I've got nothing. Yet I have joy. And that's the Holy Spirit. That's God making his dwelling within us, making us his habitation. Baptism, I believe, is a sign of this presence of God with us. You know, after Susan's baptized, we're going to put her on this blue mat here just to save water going everywhere. And we're going to lay hands on her and we are going to pray. We're going to pray that the Spirit of God would fill her to overflowing, would anoint her and help her as she goes from this place. We're basically praying the presence of God and her awareness of it to increase and grow in her life. And you know, I don't know, she might feel something, she might not, doesn't matter. We're just going to pray anyway. We're going to pray that faith, that the faith that she has would just grow and she would know his presence going every step. Because I tell you, when we've got his presence in us, it changes everything, doesn't it? I don't want to go from this place ever without that sense of God's presence with us. Tried it, doesn't work. When we go forward without him. You know, haven't we all tried it? Try to go it alone. Always makes a bit of a mess. Okay, it's about this word. Confessing. Confessing Jesus. In a few moments, we're going to ask Susan a couple of questions about why she's here. She's going to confess. She's going to speak. She's going to say, I'm here because I won't steal your thunder. This is what Paul wrote. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and this is all that really matters, to be honest with you. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Anyone want to finish it off? You will be saved. Not you might be saved. You'll kind of be saved. You'll almost be. You will be saved. So in a few moments, Susan's going to nail her colours to the mast. And she's going to stand before you lot and say, this is why I want to be baptised. We're going to ask her a couple of questions. That's it. A couple of questions. This is why I want to be baptised. And in essence, she's going to say, Jesus is my Lord. I've got faith in my heart. I've turned from my life. What I know to be wrong. Come on, let's get on and do it. Okay. Final one. This is about the Church of Jesus. Because ultimately it's his church, isn't it? It's not mine. It's not ours. We're part of it, but it's his church. Baptism is the normal way of entry into the church. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. We are all baptized by one spirit into one body. When we're baptized, we identify not only with Jesus himself who died and rose, but also with the people of God. We're celebrating that you're part of this family. And we're so glad you are, Susan. And it's a joy to have you as part of this little bit of the church. And baptism is a celebration of that. Some churches, we're a Baptist church, some churches link baptism and church membership or partnership. We don't make that strong connection, but let me say, we'd love you to take that step of commitment to this particular part of the church and becoming partners. And I'd extend that to everybody who says, this is your church. And all we ask is that partners gather, that partners pray, and partners give. That's it. It's as simple as that. So, there you go. 9, I would say, biblical reasons why someone should get baptized. Why Susan is getting baptized today. Sorry.
Oh,
That mustn't go anywhere. Friends, look. Here is water. What can stand in the way of you being baptized? There is one answer to that question I can give today. One answer to the question of what can stand in the way. It's a very simple answer, and you might already know it. And it's you. That's the only thing. That's the only thing that can step in the way, get in the way, you. I think God is pretty clear. I think it's unequivocal, unmistakable. I think there's no question in my mind. The questions only come, and the obstacles come, and the barriers come when we put them up. Here is water. Susan, here is water. What can stand in the way? Friends, if you haven't been baptized today, here is water. What can stand in the way? If you have been baptized today, here is water. And do you know what? A whole lot of you would want to get in again, wouldn't you? Jump on in. And I'd say this. Use it to remember your vow. Use it to remember what you said. The promises you made when you stood before this church or whatever church you got baptized in and said what you said. Let me pray for us. Lorna, could you go and say we're ready? Thank you. I think we're going to sing, aren't we? So I'm going to ask us to stand. We'll have a leg stretch as I pray and the band can come up. Let me pray for us. Jesus, you command us. You've shown us. You've said it's central to your church. It's a connection, a solidarity with you and the amazing thing you did for us in your death and resurrection. It brings change, transformation, cleansing, closeness. And I pray that it would be the confession of everyone in this room today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.